Let's just pray for Peter before he speaks to us. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we just ask now that as Peter opens it to us, that you would give us open hearts, open minds, and that you would give Peter clarity of thought and speech as he brings your message to us. Mm-hmm. We just commit him to you now in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning. We're continuing a series on the Bible and Bible reading, particularly around helps and things that we've found useful resources. So I wanted to start with a few comments first. I see the Bible, reading the Bible, as spiritual exercise. And both those words mean something. They're not really just there to hold the sentence together. It's a spiritual thing because this is a spiritual book. You don't read this book the way you read any other book. This book is not what it looks like. It looks like it's just sheets of paper that's bound together, but don't be fooled. We see in 2 Timothy that this book is the expiration of God, the very breath of God. We call these writings inspiration because that's what they are to us. We take them in, but they are expiration from God. They're what comes out of him. If God has breathed these things out onto the page, they are spiritual. They're not natural things. So that should be the way that we approach this book. We really do need to be prayerful about having spiritual eyes to be able to see what God has written, the things that he has provided for us. But the second word, it's an exercise. And that is, it's not easy. It's a stretch. It's not light reading, usually. How many of us know that if you're doing exercise, you're going to get up a sweat? And that's, again, how this that should affect how you're reading this book, because we should expect to have our spiritual muscles tested and strengthened. So having said that, I don't believe that reading the Bible should be ritualistic or legalistic. Again, both those words are... what I mean here is that ritualistic is it shouldn't be formed, it shouldn't be done in an invariable way, not all the same, always the same way. And legalistic, I don't believe it should be overly formal. I don't know what your childhood meal times were like. This might come completely out of left field to you, but this is an analogy that I saw. I don't know what your meal times were like at home. But if your mother always cooked exactly the same meal every night, I mean every night, not just most nights, every night, then I imagine that when you came to the table, it'd be pretty uninviting, pretty uninspiring, and, you know, like it'd be another day type thing. But if your mother was even just a little bit creative with the way she cooked, and she was a bit spontaneous, meal times would be completely different, because you would literally be saying, I don't know what I'm going to get. And I see reading the Bible in a similar vein to that. It's like coming to sit at the table for a meal, but with the most creative and imaginative and spontaneous cook that you've ever had. I wonder what we'll be having today. So, with that as an introduction, I'd like to share some resources that I've been using that I've found helpful in Bible reading. How many have heard of Every Day with Jesus? Yep, good recognition through there. Selwyn Hughes, a Welsh minister. This is a great daily devotional that Linda and I have used for many years, in the early years of our marriage. And I now have a library of these things, these little booklets. I want to put the first one up there, Steve. That, you know, as you read them over the years, they just build up in your collection. You never throw them out because they're a great resource to go back to. Covering all sorts of topics. The current topic here, this is the one I got off the website for this month. It's called 10 Words, looking at the Ten Commandments. So that's just an idea. It's just a little book, easy to carry around, not a big tome you've got to take a suitcase for. If you're travelling or whatever. The format is a short Bible passage and then a one-page reflection on that passage, closing prayer, and usually down the side is a list of further readings. If you something in there you want to dig into a bit deeper, where does he get that from or where does that go, you can follow it. And when I first started, I didn't venture into the further reading very often, but as time went by, I began to get more curious and follow the breadcrumbs, as it were, and see where's this going? What's this connected to? So then, a number of years ago, we came across the New Living One Year Bible. This is the Bible arranged into 366 daily readings that cover a passage from the Old Testament, the New Testament, a psalm and a proverb each day. And it's a really good way to ensure you're reading the whole Bible. You're not just reading your favourite bits or reading topical things. You're actually reading the whole Bible in 1 year. We bought one for all of our kids, for everybody in the family. When we saw them, and all of our kids were at the reading age by that stage, so we bought one for each one, and we set off. And Linda and I were both using it, and we didn't religiously use it with the kids, but we showed them, and it was something that they had available to them if they wanted to. It probably, in hindsight, was pretty advanced for them. A bit not like reading a story at all, because it was quite fragmented, but Linda and I found it really good, and the kids all had a copy. I used it regularly for a year or two, and then moved on again. Like I'm saying, not really wanting it to be ritualistic and legalistic. It's something when you start to get a bit stale, there's enough ways to look at this that you can try something else. And so I moved on to the resource I'm currently using, which I've been using for a couple of years, which is My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, a Scottish minister. This is probably the most similar to Every Day with Jesus, because it's a similar daily format with a passage and a devotion based on that. I find this Chambers very insightful, very thought-provoking. And often I'll, even though he doesn't have a list of further readings, I'll often, a word in there or a phrase in there or a reference that I pick up will get me off into other things as well. And then I will usually, because I really value the Psalms, I often finish with reading a passage from the Psalms. Anyway, even though he doesn't stipulate it, it's not part of his devotion. And initially, because there's a lot in the 150 Psalms, I wasn't following a guide. It was a bit sort of, how do I know where to go each day? And so I would start off and read, as a starting point at least, I would read the Psalm number for today. So if I'm in the 16th day of the month, I would read Psalm 16. But there's a bit of a flaw in that plan, isn't there? And you get to 31, and then, day one, so you go back to read from Psalm 1 again. So when I realised the flaw, I'm not that bright, but I realised that I'm not going to get through the rest of the book. So I actually come up with just a little simple chart, which maps out 1 to 31 and the rest of the book, so that you can say, I'm on day 15, but hey, I'm on rotation 2, this is the month. And just in my study, I can just look it up and say, oh, I should be on Psalm 62 rather than, you know what I mean? So that's what I use. So it's just a bit more systematic. Not legalistic. If I miss it, it doesn't break a leg. But it just gives me a way of saying, I want to read through the Psalms all the way through and make sure I cover them all. And that's how I do it. If you can't visualise how that works, come and see me and I can give you a copy of it. It's no copyright or anything. It's just a guide. And my final resource is one for the techno-savvy among you. So if there's some phrases here that you don't recognise, you can certainly come and see me. But I recently started subscribing to a podcast. There's one of those techno words. It's called Pray the Word by David Platt. I've been listening to podcasts for years, but only in the last probably 6 months I've subscribed to this podcast, because specifically it's about, I'll read it. It's a short 4 to 5 minute session that's issued daily, and it does exactly what it says on the label. It prays the word. So he'll take a verse that the Lord's put on his heart for that day. Out of, you know, he's reading through the Bible sequentially, but for each chapter he'll find a verse and he will just talk about it for a second, and then he will pray what that verse is talking about. And this, I think, is really good, and it's been good for me to hear somebody else praying. I've read Spurgeon's prayers. Who here recognises the name Spurgeon? Yep. I've got a book of his called The Pastorate Prayer, and some of those prayers are absolutely a sermon in themselves to read. But so I've loved reading other people's prayers, but what's really good about Pray the Word is that it's a daily application of a text to his life, and he applies it, you know, and opens it up for people who are listening to apply it to their life. So I see it modelled, much like the Psalms gives us a model for prayer. So that's useful. So the thing that you'll find, if you're curious, is that there are many different ways and formats that Christians over the years have adopted to read the Bible. And because the scriptures themselves do not prescribe how to read it, you can't point me at a chapter and verse that tells me how many chapters to read a day, or how many books, or how, you know, that you've got to read it all in a year, and that's not prescribed for you. So because the Bible doesn't prescribe it, we shouldn't prescribe it to everybody else. But if you come across a way that really works for you, you know, we learn from each other. We hear these sort of things where you may come across something. I didn't hear Ian's from last week and the ones coming. But if you hear something that is a really good memory jog for you, that's something that I can try, something I haven't thought of, then we can learn from others, learn from each other. But the most important thing is to come to the table. Coming with an appetite is really important. But, you know, even if you don't come with an appetite, and I have to confess, I don't always come with an appetite, but my appetite is not the same every day. I'm not a robot. So I'll come to it with all sorts of things on my mind and distractions. But God is so good that if we come, he will give you an appetite. Sometimes it's harder work than others to make the time, to find the time, to put that time aside. But reminding yourself that this is spiritual food is really important. We heard earlier in the service this reference. In Psalm 119, 49 and 50, it says, "Remember the word to your servant upon which you've caused me to hope. This is comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Why is it that we come to the table naturally, to the dinner table at home, every day? Because we get hungry. We get tired. We need energy. And God has made us that way. We need spiritual food regularly too. Jesus said, "I am the living bread And in other places he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And I paraphrase that saying, whoever comes to my table will not go hungry. And finally, this is the reference we heard before. Finally, we need to remind ourselves that it's spiritual light. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I don't know how many times I've been wrestling with something or someone, spiritually, of course, and the reading of the day has come to mind, and it has been so appropriate. It's just fitted that situation to a T. Like someone's just turned on a light and you realize, I understand that situation more clearly. And the way forward is so much more possible to me. It's always been possible for God. There's always a way forward. But he lights the runway. And he often does that through reading scripture. So I hope that's helpful for you. Anyway,